from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny.
I do not support the water fix as currently configured, meaning I do not support the Twin Tunnels.
That was Governor Gavin Newsom announcing last week that he will scrap a controversial $19 billion plan to build two tunnels under the Sacramento-San Joaquin River Delta. Instead, state officials will pursue a downsized one-tunnel conveyance system. And we'll talk about the future of the project known as California Water Fix and what the new plan means for cities, farms, and the environment. That's coming up after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. In a State of the State address last week, Governor Gavin Newsom announced that he will abandon plans to build two massive tunnels under the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta to carry water to the Central Valley and Southern California. The Twin Tunnel plan, originally conceived under the Schwarzenegger administration, was slated to cost $19 billion, and it sparked intense opposition from environmentalists who said the project amounted to a water grab that would destroy Delta ecosystems. Governor Newsom's new plan calls for a single tunnel and is estimated to cost about a third less than the original project. And in this hour, we want to discuss what a one-tunnel plan would mean for farmers, urban water users, and the environment. And joining us first is Wade Crowfoot. He's Secretary of the California Natural Resources Agency. And welcome to the program, Wade Crowfoot.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And I think the place to begin with you, if we could, is to get a big picture. I'm looking at the title of this hour. I have Delta Project scaled back to one tunnel. Now what? And we have to wait a couple weeks probably before we find out about cost and timeline. But give us a sense of what the governor's directive means in terms of the process now.
Sure thing. So when Governor Newsom gave the State of the State last week, he first of all indicated water will be a priority for the administration to address in coming years. And that's a big deal, given the water needs that we have in the state between cities, agriculture, and the environment. Secondly, he was really clear about his desire for a fresh approach, specifically on conveyance, or what we've been calling the tunnels. Being very clear, he does not support the current proposal, the so-called twin tunnel proposal, and instead supports smaller single tunnel conveyance through the Delta. And then third and really important is he made clear that this discussion around the tunnels cannot happen in isolation. Modernizing conveyance through the Delta is one piece of the puzzle. And we really need a portfolio approach across the state to meet our water needs into the new century. And so look forward to talking about that.
Well, are we going to go through a whole new permitting process, for example?
Yeah, it's a great question, and we're working through those details. So there's obviously been a lot of science and analysis on the needs of the Delta and the potential for modernized conveyance over the past decade or two. And so the goal is to utilize the science that's been done, but then obviously to comply with the California Environmental Quality Act and all the permitting requirements. So utilize what we can, but then, of course, go through the new permitting process as needed.
So we are going to have a California water fix?
Well, I don't know if it would be termed that. The governor made clear that he believes we do need to modernize the way that water moves through the Delta. Keep in mind, upwards of 27 million Californians rely on fresh water through the Delta. It's at major risk of earthquake, which has been well established, and climate change means sea level rise and saltwater intrusion into the Delta. So, you know, we believe that the safety of our water supply for upwards of three quarters of Californians really relies on modernizing the conveyance. The specific characteristics of, the size, location, et cetera, obviously, remains to be determined.
Again, we're talking about the change in the two-tunnel plan that was under Governor Brown. It will now be one tunnel. And Wade Crowfoot with us, Secretary of California Natural Resources Agency, also joining us for this hour, Lauren Sommer here in studio, science and environment reporter for KQED. Welcome, Lauren.
Good morning.
And here in studio, Jeff Mount, who is a senior fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California, emeritus professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences at UC Davis. And welcome, Jeff.
Thank you.
Good to have you both here in studio with us. Lauren, let me begin with you. This seems to be, sort of victory for environmental activists, doesn't it?
I mean, I think it's still being determined. I mean, this is decades now that we've been talking about this tunnels project in California. And there's a reason that nothing has quite happened yet. It's very, very controversial. I mean, people think of it as kind of the missing piece of California's entire water system. I mean, this goes all the way up from the northern part of the state and Shasta Dam. On the water goes all the way down to LA and San Diego. It's also used in the South Bay here in the Bay Area. And it just so happens that the water has to go through the Delta, the Sacramento San Joaquin Delta. And the way it's designed now has been really, really bad for that estuary and the animals that live there. So this tunnel has been held up as a way to save some species. This tunnel has been held up as a way maybe that we would destroy these species. It all depends on what it looks like and how you design it, and that's why we have so much debate over it.
Well, there's going to be less cost. That seems to be certain. But back in 2009, the Department of Water was talking about, what, $140 million? And now we're in the billions?
It'll be very expensive no matter what. It will be paid for by the water user. So those are the water districts that actually get the water. So it's not something that would actually go to taxpayers. But, you know, those water districts have to have it pencil out for them. They're not going to pay for a very expensive project if they don't get the water that they want from it.
And, Jeff, if I go to you on this, what does this mean in terms of well, it limits the capacity for mismanagement. That's a good point. But at the same time, the emphasis is going to be on the urban, isn't it?
I think one of the things, Lauren brings up a really good point. You have to pay for this. This is not going to be funded by the federal government. It's not going to be funded by the state government. It's the beneficiaries pay. And the capacity for paying for this is highest in the urban areas where we can pay a lot more for our water rather than the agricultural regions of the state. So one of the – when you think about downsizing this thing and making it smaller, the emphasis is really likely to be on the urban supply, again, because they can pay. And also it's a fact of life that the economic return on investment in an acre foot of water in the urban environment is certainly very, very high.
And yet food is such a staple and so much of it is produced in the state and the agriculture.
I do want to remind you and all your listeners, California is an agricultural powerhouse, and the area of the state that is served by the Delta is the richest agricultural region in the United States and one of the most important in the world. We can't lose sight of the fact that agriculture requires water as a throughput to manage their industry. And the San Joaquin Valley is a major issue here. The water supply to the San Joaquin Valley is extremely important as well.
What does one tunnel mean about groundwater?
Oh, it means a lot. This is the problem. Lauren got this right. I mean, you cannot view this in isolation. There are a variety of things going on which are going to be extremely important, and the single tunnel plays a role in it. At the top of the list is the decision by the state in 2014 to require sustainable management of groundwater. Ground zero for this is the San Joaquin Valley. Tomorrow, the Public Policy Institute of California is going to release a very large, comprehensive look at the San Joaquin Valley. And there's some tough messages in this. That is an area that's going to have to reduce their water use by almost 2 million acre feet. That is a lot of water to reduce, and it's going to cause a lot of land to come out of production. And this is because they have to balance their groundwater use. But they rely right now, almost 10%, more than 10% of their supply comes from the Delta, close to 13%. If you don't maintain that supply from the Delta, for the Delta for them, you are looking at some really tough choices in trying to balance their groundwater. So again, these things can't be considered in isolation because there's tremendous pressures on the Delta.
Let me go back to Wade Crowfoot, who only has a few more moments with us, who's Secretary of the California Natural Resources Agency. And Wade, you're hearing some of the concerns. What are the concerns that the state has? And I'm wondering, are you going to have more environmental reports demanded?
Yeah, well, I would concur with Lauren and Jeff, first of all, that the status quo is broken. So it's really hard to defend what's happening right now in the Delta. Fish populations are dwindling. Water supplies are becoming less certain. And so from our perspective, the status quo is not an option. And it's true that these, you know, discussions around tunnels or modernized conveyance has been decades in the making. But the reason it's persisted as an issue is it remains a problem. I would say we collectively fail if the discussion on water in California is reduced to a debate about a tunnel or tunnels. We need to do so much more. It's recharging our groundwater basins from winter rains. It's capturing stormwater in urban environments and using it later. It's actually making conservation like we did in the drought a way of life. It's recycling water. We are not going to meet our needs as the fifth largest economy in the world in the state of 40, upwards of 50 million people, unless we take a portfolio approach. And I think that's what I'm really excited about as it relates to what Governor Newsom said last week. It's really this question of conveyance and so much more. And so I look forward to helping, you know, flesh out the details in coming weeks on what those portfolio items are.
Secretary Crowfoot, good to have you with us. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Michael. Take care.
It's Wade Crowfoot, Secretary of California Natural Resources Agency. And let me go back to Lauren Sommer. We've been talking a little bit about what this means, Lauren, for farmers and for the Bay Cities, the urban areas. What does it mean for the environment, and particularly in light of climate change?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had now more than 10 years of discussion about these two tunnels, these twin tunnels, and figuring out what it means for the environment has been a central question, right? Because one of the problems that a lot of biologists point to is that we're just taking a lot of water out of this estuary, and it's been bad for salmon, it's been bad for Delta smelt. And so now that we're going potentially to a one tunnel, that has to be studied. And we've already spent a lot of time studying two tunnels. So one of the big questions is, well, do you have to start those studies over? Can you just build on what we already know? I mean, people point to the fact that it depends on how much water you take and how you take that water. And that's something that the Department of Water Resources and Newsom administration actually have to put on the table.
You're also going to have sea level rise, though, which makes me think again of climate change. I mean, the water's going to be more salty, but aside from that, we have to be concerned about climate change.
Yeah, for sure, because, you know, we want fresh water, right, going into our aqueducts and our pipelines, right? If we get more salty water coming up San Francisco Bay into the Delta, that's actually a very big concern, also for Bay Area water supplies as well.
So, Jeff Mount, should we build or not build? Comes down to that question, doesn't it?
So, as you can imagine, at the Public Policy Institute of California, we don't take a position on build or not build. But I want to put it in a stark contrast. And this is the same thing we've been saying for the last decade in all of these debates. You have a choice. You can not build and then choose to adapt to declining reliability and amount of water from the Delta, or you can choose to build to try and maintain that supply. That's a policy choice. I personally got yelled at by Governor Schwarzenegger when I said that. That's how long this has been around. That's a policy choice to be made. You either come up with a fix or you learn to live with less water out of the Delta. There is really no in-between.
It can be intimidating to be yelled at by the Terminator.
Oh, it was great. It was so fun.
Let me ask you something else, though. I mean, just the political side of this, if you could, Jeff. And that is Trump administration is kind of mounting a challenge in some ways here.
Yeah, our federal partners are complicated. I think Secretary Crowfoot would use very, very nuanced language in describing that. But right now, the federal government is really not being very helpful. On the question of the tunnels themselves, they pretty much bailed out early on. The Bureau of Reclamation said it really wasn't in their interest to be involved and pay for this. They are trying to pressure right now through both the what's called the WIN Act and then the biological consultations that are going on to try and squeeze more water out of the Delta. And they're going to run afoul of a series of processes that are underway here where the State Water Resources Control Board basically has to permit all of this. So right now, there is significant confusion with our federal partners in terms of direction, money, policy. I can't make a pretty picture out of it. This is a major challenge for the Newsom administration to try and manage our federal partners.
Jeff Monaghan, a senior fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California and emeritus professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences at UC Davis. Let me bring Roger Patterson into this. He's Assistant General Manager for Strategic Water Initiatives with the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. Roger Patterson, welcome to the forum program. Good to have you.
Good morning. Glad to join the conversation.
Well, I'd like to hear what you have to say, first of all, about the fact this may be a victory for environmental groups and Delta political leaders, but it's not creating great happiness in Los Angeles area and Southern California, where a lot of money was invested in the tunnels. I say tunnels, plural.
Well, we're, you know, the governor was pretty clear when he came out in the state of the state that he really supports moving ahead, but he wants to do it with a one tunnel project. And I think
so. How do you feel about that?
Well, we were prepared. It's been a long, torturous path, and it was about a year ago when, as Jeff Mount said, the federal side wasn't ready to commit money, and so. We looked at the time about going at that time about going to one tunnel because that's essentially what we had funding for from the state water project contractors that are going to pay for the majority. And that's when our board at Metropolitan said, why don't we finance the other third that was intended to go to the federal contractors, and at the right time we think they will need to come in to the project, and then we can essentially sell our portion to them once they settle into how they're going to manage groundwater, and maybe the times change. And so we were prepared after a pretty tough vote at Metropolitan to move ahead with both tunnels, and we would fund essentially the second one because in our view it really was the right project for the state as a whole, and we were willing to make that happen. But the governor's pretty clear he wants to move ahead with one tunnel at this point. Status quo isn't working, so I think that's our view as well. And so we're committed to work with Department of Water Resources in the state to move forward with a single tunnel project and take advantage of the work that's been done over the last decade or so so that we can hopefully move forward in a...
You're accommodating to this, I think.
Well, we've got to do something, and if the governor says we're not doing two, we're doing one, then it's like, okay, let's get going. Let's get going on one tunnel. We did some spade work on that about a year ago when Jerry Brown said, you know, he called it phased at the time, Governor Brown, that let's build one tunnel and two intakes now, and then later, when the money comes forth, we can build the second stage of the project. So, at this point, it's basically no. We're going to build the one tunnel, and there is no second phase. Let's get going.
So, well, there was quite an investment. The L.A. Metropolitan Water District is willing to put up $10.8 billion. I think.
Yeah, 10.8, because about 5.5 of that was to fund the non-subscribed share that was earmarked for the federal project.
Well, Roger Patterson again with us, Assistant General Manager for Strategic Water Initiatives, Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. What do you think about Governor Newsom moving from two tunnels to one tunnel? And if you have questions about the Delta tunnels, we want to hear from you. The Delta project has been scaled back to one tunnel. Now what? A lot of questions to ask. And let's hear from you, our listeners. Let me tell you how you can join us right now. Our toll-free number is available. The number to call is 866-733-6786. I'd like to have you be part of the program, so please feel free to call us now. Again, the number to call is 866-733-6786. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website and posting questions or comments there at kqed.org/forum. And you can also go to our Facebook page or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Let me go back to questions that I have with you, Jeff Mount, about where the feds come into all this. I mean, it's pretty vague, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, of course, part of this is an accident of history. What most Californians, I think, don't appreciate is that the federal government came in and took over the Central Valley Project in the Depression when the state just couldn't fund it. And so now the federal government has been this partner managing one of the large water systems here, which is the Central Valley Project, which routes water from Shasta Reservoir all the way to the Southern San Joaquin Valley. And then we have the State Water Project, which is run by the state in parallel. There isn't a rational economist I know who thinks that's a good idea. And in fact, this last year, PPIC, one of our proposals for reform was to actually take over the Central Valley Project from the federal government and unite the Central Valley Project and the State Water Project into a single operation that can be run by the state. This, of course, is a radical idea, but it's worth at least considering. I think it would simplify our life to have less involvement in the federal government rather than more involvement in the federal government, at least at this point.
Roger Patterson, before I let you go, I just wonder what you have to say about one tunnel making sense financially. Can you pencil that out for us a bit? from your
perspective? I think that for the State Water Project, which is the primary investor, it basically pencils out the same way as we were looking at our state project investment in two tunnels. It's pretty close. So I think it'll pencil out. Jeff Mount said earlier, he highlighted the struggle that some of the agricultural districts have being able to make the economics work, and there are a good number of those that are part of the state project. So I think they'll still have to look long and hard, but I believe we can put the financing together for a single tunnel project with investors.
Roger Patterson, thank you for joining us this morning. Good to have you with us.
Thank you all.
It's Roger Patterson, again, Assistant General Manager for Strategic Water Initiatives with the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. We get back to some big questions here, Lauren. Size, configuration, cost, not really explained.
No, I think everyone's waiting a little bit to see where the Newsom administration is really going to take things. I mean, he's putting his stamp on this water issue. I mean, we had Governor Brown pushing two tunnels for his entire tenure, and this is a major mark that he's trying to make. I think, as Jeff has been talking about, too, it's also just a really big moment for California's water in general. I mean, we had the drought. We saw how hard that was for everyone around the state. And since then, there have just been all these different policies that Jeff talked about that have kind of been winding their way through. And now they're all converging. How much water goes in rivers? How much water goes in the Delta? How much do we need for salmon? How much would go in this tunnel? I mean, we really juggling all these different processes that at some point do have to come together. And it's a very critical juncture that the Newsom administration is taking over right now.
Let me bring a caller aboard here. We go first to you, Bob. Join us. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, as the saying goes, we send our water to L.A. and they send us bad movies. So my question to you is, after all these years of hopefully doing some conservation, building cisterns, more reservoirs, why is it you need more water? Can you explain that to me and why we need to suffer through this? Thanks.
Thank you for the call and the question. And let me go to you, Jeff Mount.
Well, first of all,
you don't have to comment on the movies.
Yeah, just goes on the movies. I kind of like the movies. First of all, it's all our water. This is a thing that Californians don't realize. Nobody actually owns water in California. It's a public trust resource. You only own the right to use it. So it is all our water. That's an important issue. But the statement more water, actually, I think this is a myth. We're actually not talking about more water. When you look at all that environment, that $250 million worth of environmental documentation that was put together for the tunnels, it wasn't going to result in more water. It was actually going to be just more reliable water. And that's what I think is happening. We have seen a long-term decline in per capita use of water in the urban areas. We've seen agriculture remain flat in their use of water, but at the same time making greater economic efficiency out of that water. We're not talking about more water. We're just talking about more reliable water.
And we'll talk more about water and about the tunnel. I got to say that. I got used to saying that. The tunnel, right?
Yes, the tunnel.
And you can certainly join us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or email forum@kqed.org. You're listening to Forum on KQED. I'm Michael Krasny. You're listening to the Forum program on KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about the Delta Project, which has been scaled back to a single tunnel. Jeff Mount with us in studio, senior fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California, and Lauren Sommer, science and environment reporter with KQED. And we are going to go to your calls forthwith. First, Lauren, didn't some environmental groups support building one tunnel a few years ago, and now you've got some like the Sierra Club who are opposed to any tunnels, maybe some split and division among the environmentalists?
Yeah, I think we're still going to see that because environmental groups argued early on that one tunnel wouldn't quite couldn't take quite as much water. It would be less expensive. So maybe it did make more sense to build in the Delta. Other people saw, you know, well, you're going to build a tunnel. People are going to take a lot of water and it's still going to be very bad for the ecosystem there. So I think we're going to see where all those divisions fall as we kind of see what this one tunnel project might look like. I don't think anybody quite knows right now.
A lot of not knows right now. But here's Donna says, why a tunnel versus an open aqueduct like the two already there? It seems like a tunnel has to be much more expensive. Jeff Ma.
I mean, I laugh about that because those of us who've been in California for a long time remember the peripheral canal.
Yes, we all remember the peripheral canal.
And in the original discussions in the 2000s about what to do about this, there was peripheral canal redux. And insiders know, but speculation is that they decided to build the tunnels just to avoid the eminent domain crisis they would have, having to take land to build a structure which would be on the size of the Panama Canal in the original design that they were going to have to build across the Delta. And so you can imagine the public relations nightmare that was. So they decided to go underneath the problem, which, of course, increased the cost dramatically.
Question for Marjorie. How is a Delta tunnel legal without going back to the voters via initiative, given that the voters rejected a peripheral canal notion back in the 1980s? Does the legal basis derive from an attorney general opinion written by Jerry Brown? Is there something else that justifies this legally?
So Lauren and I are staring at each other. I was kind of hoping she would have an answer to this. I don't think they have to go back to this is part of the State Water Project. And there's the original 1983 referendum on the peripheral canal was just that. It was just a referendum on it. And so I don't think there is any requirement. And allegedly there's no public funds involved in this as well.
Yeah,
it's
think
just
a project. I think that's right. Lauren, here's a listener. You were mentioning the Delta Smelt before. This is Harper who says, we hear lots about the Delta Smelt on this topic. Would you please discuss the potential impact on the health of salmon with respect to the project? What would it have on the health of salmon?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be the big question. Just to kind of explain the way it works now, you know, the Delta is kind of this estuary where we tap into it. It's kind of like where we put the straw in the milkshake. And there's these two massive pumping plants.
Not using straws as much because of the environmentalists.
Oh, you're right. We got a new metaphor here.
They're paper straws.
and there's these two massive pumping plants down at the very southern end of the Delta. They suck in millions of gallons of water per minute. And that's where we've seen some of the harm happened to Delta smelt and to young salmon because they're so powerful, they actually change the natural flow of water through the estuary. And so why people have argued for a tunnel is essentially that you'd be taking water from elsewhere in the Delta as opposed to using these massive pumping plants, and you could kind of get around some of that harm. So it's not that it would solve the problems for salmon and Delta smelt, but some people argue that you could operate tunnel in a way that's better than the infrastructure that's there now, even though you would still need some of that infrastructure. It gets complicated.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot of questions coming from listeners and some comments, and let's go to as many of you as we can. Let's start with Dick in Petaluma. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. A couple quick questions. I grew up in Modesto. I worked on a family farm in Westlands Water District for years and also was a commercial salmon fisherman, and so I've got both sides of the view here. It's my understanding at this point that California farmers use 90% of the water and produce 5% of the gross daily product in California now. Those numbers seem right to you guys. And number two, it's also my understanding that the water rights that have been allocated by the state and the Fed in California comprise about 450% of one year's average rainfall. And can we ever resolve who actually gets the powerful rights to those things? Because that seems like kind of an absurd situation at this point.
Well, let's take your question first about water division. It's pretty high on ag, but not as high as he said. Is
so
it?
So basically, the way, depends on how you want to do the accounting. In the accounting system, for business and domestic use of water in California, agriculture accounts for about 80% of the business and domestic use and accounts for roughly 2 to 2.5% of the gross domestic product here in California. Again, I remind everyone, agriculture needs water as a throughput, so that's that for that particular industry. On the water rights allocation, this is often blown out of proportion. We have a water rights system where we actually depending on the amount of available water, people can exercise their rights. And typically it's first in time, first in right. So it may seem on paper like we've massively over-allocated the water in California. But what we've done is we divided it up so that, you know, when there's abundant water, more people get water. When there's less abundant water, fewer users get water. So it's not like it's oversubscribed to that level. This, you know, this is often a misinterpretation. That said, it is probably oversubscribed in a number of places, which is why we have significant environmental harm associated with water use in California and why this is such a tough problem to resolve.
And we'll thank Dick for his call and remind you that if you'd like to join the program, you can call us now at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. Here's Jerry from San Leandro. Jerry, you're on the air.
I'm going to ask you guys some tough questions, and I want you to actually answer them as opposed to minimizing them. And that is that I recently watched the series Explain on Netflix, and the second episode talks about water, and it says that 1% of the planet of the water on the planet is drinkable. And Cape Town, which had its zero day with zero water coming up, it imposed severe water restrictions on people's drinking water, and it was able to delay those indefinitely at the ground zero day indefinitely, at least per the documentary. So when your guest says that it seems to be minimizing things by saying that the water is no different, it's more reliable. Even if it's the same amount, Jared Diamond, who's been on your show, has well documented that civilizations have crumbled because of not enough water during the drought. And I remember just a couple of years ago, it seems to me, that the farmers were pumping out so much money from the aquifers that the land was sinking. So I don't appreciate the minimization, and I don't see any restrictions or conservation efforts from the water districts on my water at home. It's the same amount of water. I turn on the faucet. They're not trying to get people to reduce the amount of water to prepare for the next time we have a drought.
Jerry's raising, I think, some provocative but important questions. I mean, particularly when you hear water being paralleled to oil, I mean, in terms of a natural resource that we need to protect at all costs and whatever the necessity. So let's not minimize. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, in fact, I don't minimize this. Water is extremely important. We couldn't support this amazing economy here in California without it. And we couldn't support the 40 million people. Without minimizing it, though, I do want to say, I mean, a colleague of mine, Jay Lund from UC Davis, has often said, we're not running out of water in California. We're running out of cheap water. We actually have abundant water supplies here in California. It's just irregularly distributed in space and time, meaning most of it falls north of Sacramento and the demand is south of Sacramento. And then we have droughts. I mean, this
is the recent rainfall has filled our reservoirs again.
I know. Yeah, it's funny how quickly we forget, which is, you know, our disaster memory half-life is very short. But I do want to come to some to observations for the caller to keep in mind. Per capita use of water in California is half what it was back in 1990. We are really reducing the amount of water we use. So we're adapting to this shortage and increasing cost of water. And again, agriculture is using less water than it did in the 90s as well.
We still need a lot more conservation, though. I think you would concede that point
immediately. Look, I mean, half the water we use in California's urban areas is for our lawns and our landscaping. We got a lot of room for adjustment in the way we use water to adapt. But I think that the issue that is to be raised here, and is just something to really think about, and why this fits into the tunnels of question, is when we start looking at climate change and we look out over the next 50 years to 70 or 80 years, the intensity of our droughts is likely to increase, significantly increase. So everything we experienced from 2012 to 2016, think of that as becoming normal in our lives. And that's going to take some changes, some significant changes. So it is worthwhile to think about this. By the way, South Africa was very poorly prepared for a drought. We're better prepared here in California. That doesn't mean we're not going to have hardship when those droughts come. But these are important questions. I just want to just reassure us all that we still have a lot of water here in California, and we can make adjustments in the way we use it, which will allow us to adapt. It helps that we're a very wealthy society and can do that.
Well, let me thank Jerry for the call. Didn't the President of the United States say that climate change was a Chinese hoax?
He has.
You have to bear that in mind, too. I'm going to get another caller on here. Let me go next to Ron, joining us from Mill Valley. Ron, you're on.
Yes, I'm a lifelong sailor and have been vacationing in the Delta regularly since 1957. I think it's important for us to recognize that this water shortage is not just local or even regional. It's rather a growing and global problem. And rather than spend, you know, more than $10 billion on a 13th century solution, you know, either more peripheral canals, which have already proven that they don't work, they're not adequate, or tunnels, which will have an incredibly disruptive environmental effect and other bad effects on the bay and the delta itself, it's wiser to invest in solar-powered desalinization technology, which would, in fact, have the potential to not only solve the problem, but give us technology with which we can sell to the rest of the world, to the Middle East and Southeast Asia, and solve the problem there as well. That's a California solution. Tunnels are a 13th century old-fashioned solution, and they will not only be a short-term solution, but the aggregate disruption will be terrible because the runoff from the agribusinesses in the Delta will not decrease, but the amount of fresh water flushing through the system will decrease. And if you want to stop flushing your toilet, that's what we're going to see in San Francisco Bay. San Francisco Bay is the bond that connects San Francisco to the East Bay, the South Bay, the North Bay, and all of it's going to be affected if you stop flushing fresh water, the natural cleansing effect of fresh water through the bay system.
Ron, you make some good points and thoughtful ones, and I thank you for that. And sort of dovetailing on Ron's points, I'm going to go to you, Lauren Summer, is Paul, who writes, I'm in favor of no tunnels, not two, not one. We must save the environment. That means saving the salmon and sending no more water to the south. The plan should be to live within what nature gives us. You have to wonder if no tunnel was a feasible option for Governor Newsom. But thoughts from you, Laura?
There's certainly, I mean, the community in the Delta is very much in that camp. They don't want to see any project in a place where they live. You know, I think the system we have right now, right, this kind of these pumping plants, this whole massive plumbing system that we have, you know, a lot of people argue it was just really badly designed to begin with. And that's how some people make the case for the tunnel, is that we just didn't do a great job the first time around and it needs some fixing. But, you know, certainly I think there's other people are making a fair argument, which is, well, maybe there's other ways that we should look at fixing this problem. And the other thing maybe just to point out, it's not just water going to L.A., or farms in the Central Valley. We use Delta water here in the Bay Area. It's certainly in the South Bay. In the East Bay, we get water, you know, further up in the system. San Francisco, you get your water way up in the system in the Tuolumne River near Yosemite. But the water quality of the entire system matters to all of us. So that's why something like the Delta actually touches a lot more people than just the two-thirds of California that get some of their water from the Delta directly.
That's nearly half of the water supply from the Delta to Santa Clara County.
I don't think it's quite, you know, it's not half, but definitely Santa Clara County uses water from the Delta as well.
Millions of users.
Yes, yeah.
Well, we get to the Southland again, and a tweet from Reynolds who says, until suburbia, Southland desert communities and golf courses use 100% reclaimed water sources, there should be zero conveyance of water from natural flows. And here's Halo who says, one tunnel is enough to save the Delta. We'll go to more of your calls. Let me go next to Oakland. Dick, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. You know, so my question is that with hindsight of what Mulholland did for Los Angeles, he stole all the water from the Kern River, and as a result, there, you know, it was catastrophic for many involved. And so my question is, how is this going to be any less catastrophic? It's the same thing, isn't it?
Wait a minute. We'll go to that question in a moment. I think I misspoke. I meant half of the water supply and Santa Clara comes from the Delta.
Right.
So let me just resurrect what I misspoke. Want to tackle that, Lauren? Go to you.
Yeah. So, you know, the question is whether this would mean more water comes out of the Delta or it doesn't. And what the state has maintained thus far is that more water would not come out of the Delta through a project like this. This is just to make it more reliable in terms of what's actually coming out of the Delta. Now, there is this parallel process going on where the federal government, remember when Trump came and campaigned in the Central Valley, he did promise more water for Central Valley farmers. So while the state is kind of working on this particular side of the project, there are efforts on the federal side to try to increase the amount of water coming out of the Delta through a completely separate process than the tunnel. So when we talk about more water, there are actual things going on that are happening, but the tunnel, at least the state maintains, will not deliver more water.
And again, we're talking with Lauren Sommer, science and environment reporter for KQED, and Jeff Mount, senior fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California. And we go to more of your calls. Michael, join us. Thanks for waiting.
No problem. Thank you. High level.
I'm sorry. Are you there, Michael?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Now I can. Yeah, I couldn't before. Go ahead.
So high level, we have overpromised water in California, specifically to Westlands and Kern in the Central Valley. That is the 800-pound gorilla. While almond trees do take less water on an annual basis than row crops, they need the same amount of water every year. And National Geographic came out with a great movie called Water Heist. It's kind of Chinatown Part 2 a year ago, highlighted Stuart Resnick and some of the failures in California around overpromising, under-delivering, and regional self-sufficiency within urban areas, we haven't even scratched the surface there. So spending money on one tunnel is a terrible investment. Two tunnels was as bad or worse. We have a bill of probably over $100 billion to just maintain our existing infrastructure, and spending more on new infrastructure is not a wise investment. And regarding Santa Clara Valley Water District, they get about 40% of their water from the Delta, which equates to about 2 to 5% of Delta exports. In relation to that, Westlands and Kern takes about 55% of Delta exports, and Metropolitan Water District of LA takes about 40%. Metropolitan Water District of LA is a bad actor, and they're pushing the state into bad investments. And whether Donald Trump or Metropolitan Water of LA keeps asking for more water out of the Delta, there is no more water. The overpromising is about 8 to 1. We've overpromised 8 units for every 1 unit of actual water that there is.
Michael, the main gist of what you're saying here is overpromising. I'd like to hear what Jeff Mount has to say about that.
We have he has a point. In the history of water development in California, we have commonly overpromised. I'll give you the classic example. We were supposed to dam every major North Coast river. That was the plan in the 50s. And Ronald Reagan himself put the kibosh on those efforts, and particularly both as governor and president. And so we had originally promised vast amounts of water, and Lauren probably remembers that the proposal when we built the Central Valley Project and the State Water Project, there would never be a shortage again. And then along came the drought of 76 and 77, and the engineers were shocked, I say, that there were actually serious shortages of water. So we have a history of overpromising. That then transitions, of course, into what do we do about it? I will tell you, it's my experience that the water user community knows that. They recognize that the days of overpromising are over, and you're going to have to live with what you've got. And I mean, I see that in their discussions. They're going to fight over what we've got because you fight all the time.
And we're fighting over every drop.
Yes, they are. They will fight over it. But I think the ideas of vast quantities of new water in this system, you know, we're going to build. They're talking about building a few reservoirs, but nobody's talking about significant new water.
And here's Wim, Lauren Sommer, who writes, although we all agree the current situation in the Delta is no good for anybody, no credible studies have been done of how things would work with the tunnel. I don't see any evidence that it would improve things.
Yeah, I think people are debating now what studies need to be done because we've already had a decade of doing studies on the two tunnels. So the big question now is what studies need to be done for the one tunnel to actually figure out that question.
And Ellen writes, any serious consideration of reusing of water, desalination, perhaps statewide rather than agriculture only? Any thought of not allowing growing of water-intensive produce?
I mean, this is always like a very desalination, we kind of love to talk about that in California. Historically, it's been very expensive.
Expensive in San Diego, particularly.
Yeah, particularly. And so there's a lot of focus now, and to give Southern California its credit, they have led the way on this, about treating our wastewater. The stuff that goes to a wastewater treatment plant, you can actually use that to water a lawn, right, or grass, or you can actually clean it up to a level where you can drink it again. So there's a lot of interest in this. Some cities are ahead of others. And cities in Southern California actually have been leading the way in that regard.
And we'll lead the way to more of your calls. Let me go next to Deirdre in Santa Cruz. Welcome. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I'm a physicist who's looked at the sea level rise and levee failure analysis for the Delta tunnels. And I was stunned to realize when I looked closely that they'd only ever analyzed the tunnel performance for levee failure in the South Delta. And I wanted to ask Jeff Mount if he thought it would be important to analyze whether the intakes would stay fresh if there was levee failure in the North Delta.
Yeah, thank you for that question, Deirdre. Jeff Mount.
Well, I didn't get the nickname Dr. Doom for nothing. So you if you had a substantial earthquake in the Delta and multiple levee failures, yes, you're going to salt the Delta up as you fill those islands with water that's basically sucked in from San Francisco Bay. So the modeling that has been done has looked at actually the far western islands as having the greatest impact. And, of course, they're the closest to the active fault zones that are close to the Delta. They're the ones to really worry about. The levee system in the rest of the Delta, that protects farms and homes and infrastructure, and it's probably a separate issue. But it's the western Delta that people really, really worry about, a big earthquake occurring and causing multiple levee failures. So, yes, it would salt it up. So that is one of the reasons people have proposed building the tunnels, because they would not be disrupted by an earthquake like that.
Didn't know you were called Dr. Doom.
Oh, yeah. Tamara Keith gave me that nickname some years ago.
Let me thank the caller and go to a comment here, which is actually a question from Jerry for you, Lauren Summers. How would a tunnel make water more reliable while not increasing the quantity? Does it make water more reliable for some while less for others?
So I mentioned those kind of two massive pumping plants in the Southern Delta. They're so powerful, they change the water flow. And for small fish like young salmon or Delta smelt, it's been bad, bad news for them. They actually get sucked towards the pump. Some get sucked into the pumps. And so there are these environmental rules we have that actually limit pumping during certain times of year to protect the fish that go by there. And those are the rules that people fight over the most, because limiting the pumping means limiting the water supply for people that use that water. So the argument that people make for the tunnel is that if you could rely less on those massive pumping plants and take water from elsewhere, some further north in the Delta where the tunnel would take it, then maybe you could do less environmental harm potentially, or at least you could have a more reliable supply because you weren't facing those limits on the pumping plants. Now, that's the argument people make. In practice, I think there's debate about whether that would be the case.
Another caller, Jacob, thank you for waiting. Welcome. You're on the air, Jacob.
Hi. Yeah, the most reliable source of water is ambient moisture in the air. So why don't we transition from groundwater to sky water and use like an industrial scale extractor to take out the moisture in the air?
Jeff, you've heard
I was helping to
this before, haven't you?
And even if you drill for water, you're not necessarily going to be able to get water because it can be too salty.
Yeah, water from the air, Jeff Ma.
Yeah, so this is a new technology that people are promoting. You got one small problem. There's not a lot of water in the air. And so the volumes of water we need here in the state to irrigate agriculture and to use in our cities far exceeds the current amount of moisture that you have in the air. So, and mostly these are energy intensive.
What about in the clouds? And I'm not talking about
cloud seeding.
Yeah. Cloud seeding. I mean, you know, it certainly comes up in this discussion.
Yeah, no, we are doing actively cloud seeding today. Well, not today. It's not cloudy enough, but we're doing cloud seeding. PG&E has been doing that for many years, and it's shown to be effective, but it's still
not enough.
I just want to make sure all your listeners understand there is no silver bullet solution to all of these problems. It is true. The governor's right. It's a portfolio of actions.
Let me thank Jacob for the call and get one more caller on here, and that's you, Jonathan. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I am a NASA scientist, and I work on life support systems. And I wanted to ask your panel about the possibility of using groundwater. And in particular, I'm interested in groundwater that is being contaminated by seawater intrusion. And the goal here is to use the seawater that's intruding as a source of fresh water by desalination and a source of salt water for developing an aquaculture industry in California along the coast without being offshore, doing it onshore using the contaminated wells. I'd like to hear what your panel has to say about that.
Jeff, you have a
we're all looking.
You have one of those perplexed looks on your face. Yeah,
I just don't quite know how that would work. I do want to address the question of salinity intrusion, though.
I'm also concerned about groundwater because of Governor Brown was so in favor of fracking that many people were concerned about the effect on groundwater. And you have to ask yourself now, Newsom's moving away in different directions, high speed rail, the Delta tunnels. Is he going to move in a different direction there too?
He's going to have to. The report that comes out tomorrow takes a hard look at this in the San Joaquin Valley. Groundwater quality is probably equally important to groundwater quantity. And this is something we tend to divorce these things in our discussion that are absolutely tied together. This is going to be a major challenge for the Newsom administration.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there with many major challenges that have come up in the course of this hour and many questions. But I thank both of you. And before I let everybody go here, that is our listeners, I want to let you know, our listeners, about a special opportunity. You can join Forum's live audience tomorrow. We're going to be broadcasting live from Oakland, talking about the Oakland teacher strike, which is set to start tomorrow. And for more information, simply email us now, forum@kqed.org. That's forum@kqed.org. And I hope you will join us. Again, Forum is broadcasting live from the Oakland Asian Cultural Center about the teacher strike tomorrow. We'll be talking with parents, teachers, and officials, and you can join our live audience. Just email us for more information, forum@kqed.org. Thanks to Lauren Sommer, thanks to Jeff Mount, and thanks to Roger Paterson and Wade Crowfoot, and thanks to you, our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday, an hour repeated in the evening, 10 to 11 in the evening, and we're here with you from 9 to 11 in the morning. You can, indeed, we encourage you to continue this discussion online by going to kqed.org/forum, and you heard what's in the works for tomorrow's program. Stay tuned here on KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.